Tell me, what does the building code say about filling the basement with zombie takeout? Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some feedback from Bodo on Twitter. Welcome back, Bodo. He says, at John Scotto, welcome back, guys. Great to hear from you again. Remember, podcasting is just like falling off a bike, falling down the stairs, asking a lady her age or if she's pregnant. Crap, I'm bad at metaphors. He also mentions that he left a couple of voicemails. Haven't really had a chance to check the voicemail yet, so we'll get to those.
As you can see how rusty we were last week, where I forgot what city I even visited over the summer. The Bradbury is in Los Angeles, not San Francisco. It hit me like the first thing when I woke up the next day, as if I'd done something terrible while drunk. Was just kind of like, what the fuck did I just do?
Yeah, I think you actually messaged me to check on that. Or no, we were already talking about something, I think hearing related. And you asked, and yeah, it's odd for you to ask about a mistake. But it also said, at John Escato, Uncle John Escato, I have one small question for you. Why? I forget how god-awful this movie is. 1981 was a horrible year for everything. At least the first scary movie had a young, perky Anna Faris bouncing around. And because Bodo said 81 was bad for everything, I, of course, had to be that guy and Google 1981 movies. Stripes, Scanners, American Werewolf in London, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Escape from New York, The Evil Dead, History of the World Part 1, Cannonball Run, Road Warrior, and on the more serious side, Chariots of Fire, On Golden Pond, I have a tendency to go Night Court on that one.
Yeah.
And Absence of Malice, all in 1981.
Oh, not Absence of Malice. Jesus
Christ. Okay, I haven't seen that one. It's been a while. The others I know are really good.
We had a mass comm teacher that forced us to watch that.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I think I had to see it multiple times. It was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, so cut that from the list. But the rest are all really good. Particularly
Body Heat. You know,
Raiders, 1981. Yeah. Come on. And History of the World Part 1, Road Warrior. So, you know, 1981 wasn't horrible for everything. There were some obviously bad movies like this week's and probably next week's. We'll find out then. Just a quick announcement. 400 is no longer 2001. In English, episode 400 is no longer going to be 2001, A Space Odyssey. Because I found a copy of Phantom of the Paradise.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just too good to pass up.
And much more in our wheelhouse. Plus, I think we're probably a little too split on 2001. I don't know if there would be much discussion.
I just don't know if I could sit through
exactly
the whole thing, man.
Whereas I agree with the consensus that it's an absolute classic. So, you know, Phantom of the Paradise, that we will both laugh at and probably enjoy, is a much better choice. All right, so on to, finally, without any ado, on to this week's movie from 1981, Saturday the 14th. This kicks off a Halloween horror comedies of 1981 two-parter. Thank you, Bodo, for bringing that to my attention, because when I was Googling 81 movies, I found this one as well, or next week's as well.
Oh, boy.
And
a very
specific
two-part. A very specific two-parter.
The 81 part was accidental.
Yeah.
And, of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by the Necronomicon, the very best there is, when you absolutely positively got to summon every motherfucking monster in the book, except no substitutes.
And he just casually flipped through it. But anyway.
And it was the evil book of evil in this book. No, just the book of evil. I'm adding the first evil.
And also brought to you by peanut butter and olive loaf sandwiches. I'd say there's a special place in hell, but I think that is the place in hell.
Well, I think the olive loaf is already the place in hell.
Well,
peanut butter just makes it worse.
Olive loaf's one thing. You could see olives on a sandwich and going with the meat. I don't think I've ever had it, honestly.
I have. There's a place.
But when you
I don't even believe in hell, and there's a place in hell for olive loaf.
When you throw peanut butter in that mix, man, that is that was probably the most horrific thing in this whole movie, actually.
Actually, I've been rewatching Firefly and just watched the episode last Friday, thinking of Owlfluff has me thinking of Book and saying the special place in hell.
I just
the special hell, rather.
It made my blood.
Oh, that whole sandwich was what's the word I'm looking for? An atrocity.
The thought of them eating the cop's head, I thought, was less horrific than that sandwich. But anyway.
And I'm scrolling down my notes, and just a quick thing. All of my notes fit above the fold for once. This is weird. And says a lot about how long this episode will be. Continue.
That was a short movie. But anyway, we have this couple who they inherit a house. The house is, of course, cursed. They're told this up front, but they have this plucky can-do spirit. Well, they're really stupid, is what it comes down to.
That was an early 80s thing. That plucky can-do thing.
Obliviously go into this, and with some curtains, it'll be fine. And, of course, it is... there's
a Halloween store brought to life?
Yes. Yes.
Imagine a Halloween store blowing up in a house.
So they, the creatures pretty much come and take over pretty quickly. And in the middle of that, they decide to throw a party, which I'm still not sure why, but there's a lot of this that you just kind of like, okay, just go with it. And
Van Helsing was the one who suggested the party, wasn't it?
Yes, they get Van Helsing after calling a pest control to get rid of some bats, and the monsters really come to take over, I guess, then. Actually, no, they really came before the party, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. They've been coming all along since the kid opened the book. Evil Dead was the same year, so he couldn't learn from it.
The inexplicable poker game scene. That was before the party. At this party, of course, all hell breaks loose, and they find out who the real, which I was not, you know what? I was not expecting a fake in this.
Yeah, the ending did surprise me.
I guess we shouldn't actually spoil that
all right.
I mean, if there's something in this that could actually surprise someone, we might as well let them keep that. Mm-hmm. In the end, hilarity ensues.
And there's an animated opening to the film, which just screams TV movie.
Oh, yeah. This whole thing screams TV movie.
By the way, the kid was played by Kevin Brando. I forgot to check if they're related.
I was looking for that, and I see no sign of Marlon.
No sign of Marlon.
However, he is the kid that was the voice of Schroeder on the Peanuts cartoons. God.
Okay. That's why he sounded a bit familiar.
Now, I mean, I picked this, of course, and I have, zero memory of what this actually was. I remembered Benjamin in this, but I did not remember kids in this. I just remembered Richard Benjamin being a total buffoon and just...
And I remembered it being Student Bodies, because I thought Saturday the 14th was the slasher film with the body count on screen. Turns out that's next week's. So, and we actually had a discussion last week about whether or not we should switch them out. You decided we both ultimately decided we were going to stick to the plan and do this one. But yeah, you brought it up.
Yeah, I wasn't married to it altogether, but it was just kind of like, huh. Because you're like, was this good? I was like, I don't remember this. I thought it was late 70s, actually. Then I was like, oh, it was 81 when I saw the license plate. I'm like, all right, so that means I was like 8?
Bear in mind, this is an early 80s Richard Benjamin Paul Apprentice film that was given a limited release.
Right. And did you notice who the producer was?
No, I did not.
It is Julie Corman.
Oh, Roger yes, I did Swaith. Read that. Yes. So the Cormans were involved. That doesn't really speak to quality.
It speaks to comedy, though.
Enjoyment, but not in this case. Although the movie isn't all bad. We talked about, there is a twist at the end. Also, a lawyer dies in the first few minutes, so it can't be all bad. Although the lines about young children probably not meant to sound as sinister as they do. You have Jeffrey Tambor, who was horribly underused
in this,
as an obvious vampire, and his you know, partner who want the house. And they're asking this real estate agent about it. And he asks, you know, do young children walk past here? And, you know, we'll have them when are you expecting to have children? Yeah, we'll have them when we want. Or something of that nature. Probably not intended to sound like pedophile lines, but it does.
Not definitely. They probably didn't think it was nearly as edgy as it is now, actually.
Yeah, true.
And keep in mind, this is Jeffrey Tambor, like, 2 years after he did, like, Injustice for All with the Pacino.
Well, Tambor's always done more comedy than drama.
Well, right. This is very beginning in his career, early in his career. I mean, he did some TV work, I think, before this. Wait a minute. I could have sworn he was on Injustice for All 79.
Okay. Also, they have a TV in the house that only plays The Twilight Zone. That really seems like much more of a feature than a bug to me.
That's not bad. They marathoned it so many times back in the 80s. Was it really that unusual to have a Twilight Zone TV?
Fair point. And, of course, the evil in the book is released by... In the movie, rather, is released by a book that the kid finds.
I liked how they were so casual about it. You know, they made it sound like it was going to be this tension, you know, dramatic tension of if you open the book, you know, you'll release them. And they just cut to the next scene of the kid with the book already open. Right. Just, oh, look, there's a monster.
Called the Book of Evil. I keep adding evil Book of Evil because I just think it's funny.
What's that, like Dr. Horrible?
I think maybe it's either Dr. Horrible or The Tick. I'm pulling that from. I'm not sure.
I think Dr. Horrible had the Evil League of
Evil. Oh, yeah, Evil League of Evil. Yes. Also, Evil Dead was the same year, which is ironic.
That is so crazy that they did this at the same time.
I'll say some of the creature effects did look good. The mummy makeup was good. The rest of them were just guys in suits. They also looked like they came from a party store or a Halloween store.
The effects are hilarious. I use effects with quotes.
Of course.
You can't see my that they are really funny. This and a Breen movie together back to back.
yeah.
It's just really funny.
And I mean Godzilla, a classic Godzilla is more convincing than the costumes in this movie.
What do you think of the non-copyright infringing shark theme?
That was nice. And also that whole bath scene was more suggestive than I was expecting.
Yes. I had to like stop to look up her age.
I did
like,
too.
Are the feds going to come?
Actually, I looked it up a little earlier in the film, like when her first couple of scenes, because she looks very young.
Yeah.
It's Kari Mikkelsen, who I vaguely remembered from Give Me a Break back in the day. So yeah, I was like, she can't be that much. I was like surprised that she was as young as she looked because that would make her much older than me. And I thought she was. Yeah, she was 19 or 20 when the film was made.
And wasn't she just playing a kid on Give Me a Break?
Well, she was, I think, a little older. I mean, she was playing younger in that show, but that's not unusual. And there's no nudity, just to be clear, but she did see her in her underwear quite a bit. Love the subtitles on the bath monster. Wish they had done that more.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely a gag that should have ran throughout. I mean, yeah, there's certain gags you need to make running, and that would have been one of them.
She's in the bath, this lagoon monster, classic, monster from the Black Lagoon, pops up after this shark gag, and he's growling something at her, and the subtitles say, can I ask you a question about a book or something of that nature? Have you seen a book? Something along those lines?
Yeah.
Also, I have to admit, I liked Van Helsing.
Oh, yeah. He damn near stole the movie, really.
That's part of the movie. The dinner scene, though, reminded me so much of Rocky Horror.
It did.
Because he's, in a suit with a goatee doing this bad German accent. I was so wishing that Tim Curry would walk in and drag.
And I mean, the cop was kind of like Meatloaf. But, well, the reason why I say about eating his head was on the table. Well, and then times, when they cut back, It's a roast where his head was.
They definitely ate the cop. Which again is very Rocky Horror, come to think of it. The only thing that I was wondering about was how long were they there? Because it was established that they couldn't go outside the house.
I think they were there just there for a couple days.
Okay, because it seemed like longer, maybe just because the movie dragged. And I was figuring, like, how are they going to work or school or shop, going, you know, getting food, you know, if they can't leave the house? It seemed like a bit of a plot hole. Then again,
they had the delivery guy.
Oh, right. You could come in, yeah.
They had the delivery guy who, I like the running gag of, like, who is this guy? Yeah.
And like we said, the twist was a bit surprising. I think the showdown was pretty funny. Like, that bought it a half brain.
Yeah.
The two characters are basically having this psychic showdown, and they're basically just grimacing and making funny noises at each other.
They're pretty much playing the sound effect game.
Yeah, yeah.
Of you know, completely right. Unexpected sound effects that don't belong there, but
right.
You know.
And that's all I have on the movie. You have anything else?
I mean, as far as effects go, strings on the bats. That sums it up.
Mm-hmm.
You actually see the strings.
Mm.
I think they kind of lost me with the... I mean, I enjoyed this for the most part, but I think they lost me with the monsters playing poker thing and the walk through the fog with the girl and the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah. And the effect, so to speak, in that scene was horrible. It was very grainy and...
Right. You know. It was pointless. Because it wasn't funny and it wasn't horrific or anything, you know, so...
She was going back to bed and the lagoon monster was following her and there was all this fog and it was almost like a French farce where they were just kind of stepping out of each other's way.
Right. And then she just goes back to sleep and... Yeah. That's scene. It was obvious time filler to me. Like right. The movie is only like 70 minutes long, you know, minus the credits, obviously. Cause I mean, it's like 78 minutes.
It's 75.
Credits go on forever. Right.
With the opening and closing credits of 75.
Right. Oh, you're right. So yeah, you take it out. It's like barely 70 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you could tell they needed to stretch a little bit. Cause this is really, like almost an SNL skit.
Very much so.
Stretched out an hour or so.
Mm-hmm. Sequels and remix?
Sequels and... I can't believe there's actually something here. I was stunned.
It was followed by Saturday the 14th, Strikes Back in 88. None of the cast returned for the movie sequel, but the two movies did share several crew members, including the same producer, director, a writer, and the composer. So the really the people you don't want to come back came back.
Well, right, because I think even like the kids in the cast were you know actually did a good job on this.
Yeah. I mean, the younger one, Brando, was kind of annoying, but that's more a function of his age than his performance.
Right.
You know, a kid that young is going to be annoying.
I mean, but there's even some parts where he's just like. What, you know?
Performance was as good as you could expect from a kid that age.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I think, Richard Benjamin delivers as a Frank Drebin, you know, stand-in. Cause that's
I was
going
to say it was a good
this.
Thing that Benjamin went into directing, and then I looked at the movies he's made. On to Brains.
On to Brains.
I'm going straight down the middle, 2.5. As you've often said, you know, the cameras were pointed in the right direction and they were focused. And there were a couple things that amused me. That ending caught me off guard and genuinely made me laugh. So that bought it half a brain.
Yeah, for the most part, I enjoyed it. I think it just needed a little bit more care put into it. I mean, not even necessarily budget. I found the terrible effects really amusing. And yeah, there's actually a twist that you don't see coming. Yeah, so I'm going to go 3.
All right, and what have we learned?
Electric can openers, they really are the least you can do.
Yeah. The least you can do.
Yeah, can.
And I learned that horror comedies don't have to be scary or funny. All right, that's it for Saturday the 14th. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Student Bodies, finishing our Halloween horror comedy 1981 two-parter. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.